Chapter 14. The Buddha. 179. No one has the power to defeat the victorious one or to diminish his victory over the world. There is no limit to the sphere of activity of the Buddha. Free of fixed abode, free of travel, by whom could he be led? 180. He cannot be led by the entangling poisonous net of craving. There is no limit to the sphere of activity of the Buddha. Free of fixed abode, free of travel, by whom could he be led? 181. The gods aspire to be like those dedicated to meditation, free of activity and enjoying peace, the mindful perfect Buddhas. 182. It is hard to gain a human birth. It is hard to live knowing that you are mortal. It is hard to gain the opportunity to hear the holy Dharma. It is hard to emerge as a Buddha. Note: the amount of good karma required to gain a human body is vast. For any sentient being, it is hard to know that you must die, that the body and habits that you take to be yourself are impermanent and not a true refuge. In the whole of samsara, the event of the Dharma being taught is very rare, and so to encounter such an event and to be available in oneself to truly listen is hard. Although ignorance and grasping are adventitious and not innate or fundamental, they are very familiar in their operation. Letting go of the known, the familiar, the relied on is hard, and for this reason, emerging as a Buddha is hard. 183. To do no evil whatsoever. To do all that is good and virtuous. To fully control one's own mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. 184. The patience of asceticism is holy patience. The Buddha called it the supreme nirvana. The renunciate who harms or troubles others is not a true monk. Note: spiritual asceticism is the practice to endure whatever arises, whether it provokes desire, aversion, jealousy, or other intense responses. Both the stimulating objects and the reactive subjectivity have to be endured without further involvement, neither merging nor rejecting. This is the profound patience which releases us from our attachment to samsara and our helpless participation in it. Hence, it is the supreme nirvana. Retaliation, revenge, mindless provocation. There are so many unvirtuous tendencies to be let go of. 185. Not demeaning, not harming, practicing self-restraint according to one's vows, eating in moderation, dwelling in seclusion, cultivating the highest potential of the mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. 186. Desires cannot be satisfied, even with a shower of gold. The wise know that desire means little pleasure and much suffering. 187. Seeing that the desires of the gods bring them no true happiness, the disciples of the Buddha take delight only in the ending of craving. 188. Driven by fear, people seek refuge in hills and forests, in gardens, graves, and shrines. 189. But these places offer no secure refuge, for they are not the ultimate refuge. By going to such sites of refuge, you will not be free from all sorrow. 190. However, those who have gone for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, see suffering, the origin of suffering, the ending of suffering and, 191, the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the complete cessation of suffering. With pure discerning wisdom, they see the Four Noble Truths. Note: the Noble Eightfold Path is the fourth of the Four Noble Truths. These truths are 1. Suffering, pervasive throughout samsara, affecting all sentient beings. 2. The cause of suffering. This is both the ignorance by which we are blind to the truth and our consequent attachment to misleading illusion created by our imagination, which obscures awareness. 3. The cessation of suffering, the peace of non-attachment, non-involvement and non-excitation. Suffering ends when the cause of suffering ceases to function. 4. The path. This leads to the cessation of suffering and is called the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is not a set of options. All eight aspects need to be practiced. They are 1. Right knowledge or vision. Seeing the fact of impermanence and the absence of inherent existence. 2. Right intention, deciding to follow the path. 3. Right speech, clear and undeceiving. 4. Right action, behaviour guided by the teachings. 5. Right livelihood, supporting yourself with work that is ethical and helpful and not harmful. 6. Right effort, focusing on developing virtue and diminishing evil and harm. 7. Right mindfulness, undistracted attention to all details of what is occurring. 8. Right meditation, concentrating on the practice so that the misleading refuge of thoughts, feelings and sensations can be dispensed with. 192. These are the virtuous refuge, the ultimate refuge. Having taken them as one's refuge, one is freed from all sorrow. 193. It is hard to find an omniscient person, for they are not born everywhere. Happiness increases in the family where such a person is born. 194. Joyful is the occurrence of a Buddha. Joyful is their teaching, the holy Dharma. Joyful is harmony in the Sangha. Joyful is the Dharma practice of those who live in harmony. 195. Having fully transcended all conceptual elaboration and completely terminated all craving and sorrow, the Buddhas are worthy of homage, as are their close disciples. 196. Venerating those great beings who are fearless and beyond suffering generates such merit that no one can measure it.